today on Real Radio.
If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, the Bible says that he stands ready to come alongside you, to hold your hand as you go through difficulty, hardship, and challenge. He's promised you this. He cannot fail.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Do You Know? Part 2 continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah. Isn't this a great series? Thanks for joining us, by the way. In these last few chapters, Isaiah goes on to describe a future time when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom here on earth. But whether we're looking at the past or the present or things yet to come, we're reminded of God's amazing love and his patience towards us and towards the nation of Israel. Now, in part 1 from Isaiah chapter 61, we learned that we need to consider the full revelation of God's Word. There are times in our past that have tried to ruin us, but when we understand the full message of salvation, we'll discover that it's not really only what we know, but who we know. Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Eternal life in heaven only comes by knowing and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So today on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 61, Pastor Jack tells us, Jesus comforts all those who will come to him. He is the Lord who will come alongside us and give us his peace and rest when we go through hard times. There is no place that we can go where Jesus isn't right there with us. And now continuing his lesson called What Do You Know? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts is talking about right here, Acts chapter 2, verse 20, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't you love? I love that the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. It's so amazing because God is speaking over and over again. So picking it up, look back in Isaiah 61, verse 2, to comfort. He says to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Wow, real quick on this, but this is awesome. During the latter end of the tribulation period that is to come, this is in regards to Israel, Zion, and Jerusalem. When it says here to comfort, this is a compound word. You guys, to comfort, the word in the Hebrew language means, watch, it means to come alongside. In fact, com, C-O-M, in the Hebrew word is to come alongside, and then to comfort is to hold the hand. Do you like that? I like that. God says, I'm going to comfort those who mourn. I'm going to come alongside you and hold your hand. Cheer up, everybody. Say, I'm not Jewish. Listen, this is good. This is available to everyone who believes in him. Amen. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, the Bible says that he stands ready to come alongside you, to hold your hand as you go through difficulty, hardship, and challenge. Amen. He's promised you this. He cannot fail. He cannot. It's impossible for him to fail. You say, well, it feels like he's failing. He's not. You and I are failing when we have lapse of faith that he's holding our hand. I don't feel it. That's not how it works. He said it. You're going to walk down that path. Remember when we were little kids and we would walk, somewhere where it's scary? What would you do? Somebody said run. Yeah, but why didn't we run? I never ran. I remember walking fast. Was it like not cool to run? I didn't run, but I walked fast and I whistled or I hummed. Was that just me? When you get like scared and you're a little kid going down an alley, do you like, Why do you do that? You feel alone. You feel very, very vulnerable, very, very alone. And then when you see something of comfort, you relax. There's this, oh, great. Whew. Imagine where you're at right now in life. Where are you and I right now? in our situation. If we are not believing that his hand is near to hold, then we've been worrying. Whenever we worry, we're not taking his hand. I don't know how this is going to work. You're worrying. Easy for you to say. We all have our thing. We should never worry. Chuck Missler said 40 years ago, Chuck Missler said, it's brilliant. I'll have never forgotten it. When we worry, we assume a responsibility that was never supposed to be ours. That's awesome. When you and I worry, we are assuming upon ourselves a responsibility that was never intended to be ours. And we worry. It's so funny. We are so messed up in our logic because you know how somebody will say, oh, don't worry, because after all, 97% of what you worry about never comes to pass anyway. Well, that's actually a commentary on what I just said a moment ago by what Chuck Missler said. The reason why 97% of it doesn't come to pass is because it's not your business. It wasn't your business. It was God's business. Think of it. And you know that when if somebody does challenge us on our anxiety, you know you and I fail at defending it. You know that every time. Well, what are you worried about? Well, what do you mean, what am I worried about? Do you realize that? And then we give them a litany of this, and it's like, you have no power over any of those things you just said. It's funny. We put ourselves in situations and then we exclude God from the situation. And God says, all those who call upon me, I'll save you. And if you're my child, there's nowhere you can go where I'm not. You need to remember this. Every single one of us need to remember this. He's so good. And so he's announcing that I'm going to comfort you. Now look, of course, this is regarding the nation of Israel. Friends, listen. God's going to comfort Israel. He said so. It's going to happen. He's going to console, verse 3, those who mourn where? In Zion. Replacement theology, people, if you're watching or if you're here right now, what you believe is nuts. And it is absolutely nuts. It's an affront to God. It's a violation of Scripture. And you're calling God a liar. God says, I'm going to meet the Jew in Jerusalem, in Israel, and I'm going to convert their mourning into joy. He's going to do it. He has to do it. He said it. Zion, he knows exactly where Zion is. It's not Utah. Great National Park. Everybody should go. But it's Israel. In fact, it's a section there in Jerusalem. And he loves it. He's very, very clear about that. It's very graphic, the words he's using. And then look at verse 3. He goes on there and he says, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. This is, if you're Jewish tonight, you know exactly what this means. It's all about a funeral ceremony. Those are the actions and those are the doings of a Jewish funeral. The ashes are put you for grief. The ashes are all over your head and the lamentation, the grief, and you hit your chest. It's a sign of grief in that part of the world. And God says, you know what I'm gonna do to you? To the remnant of Israel who believe, I'm gonna give them beauty instead of ashes. The beauty that I'm gonna bestow upon you will take away the ashes of grief and of sorrow and pain. Your life may have felt all along like a funeral dirge. And God says, I'm gonna give you beauty. As a pastor, I get to do funerals. I actually really enjoy and love a Christian. I don't even like to call them funerals. It's a graduation service for a Christian. I mean, seriously, the worst thing in the world is to do a non-believer's funeral. It's dark. And it's hard because, you know, I had to learn this over the years. You can do a service for this guy, but he wasn't saved. What do you do? Well, Jesus said it, let the dead bury the dead. That guy's gone. Ain't no getting him back. He's crossed over and there's no jumping back. That's done. So what do? You got all these people. And you know you're in a tough service when you open it up because, you know, the family wants it opened up, open mic for people to come on up and say something about Billy. And they come up and they say, you know, Billy was great. Man, he was a great partier. And boy, I remember when him and I got so drunk that time. We drove our car down the LA River and, you know, we were so ripped. And you're like this. You're just thinking, oh, man. And it's just the day gets longer and darker. You know what I'm saying? And then at the end, it says, message by Pastor Jack. What are you going to do with that? Well, you know what? You give them, you look everybody in the funeral and you give them the gospel of Jesus and you tell them that if one thing we know of, and this is all I'll say about Bill, I won't bring him up except this. After I give the gospel, I say one thing we know for sure right now, that if Bill could talk to us today, he would tell us, love Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Because you know that's true. If he's in the flames of hell, what would his word be from hell? Love Jesus with all your heart. Don't come here. That's true, you know. It's what he does. Our God is that good. He restores. It's amazing. And so look at that. He goes from a funeral dirge to a wedding announcement. He says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is an amazing word. No one wants me. Heaviness. No one wants me. No one's going to pick me. No one wants to marry me. No one is going to ask me out. Remember when you're playing kickball? Nobody picked you. Well, you know, I'm 20 years old. I'm not married yet. I'm 25. No one's asked me. I'm 40. No one's asked. Hey, don't have a spirit of heaviness over that. God could be sparing you from great grief and great sorrow. But look, seriously, put Jesus first, and he's got timing for that. And they shall be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Verse 4, and they, that is Israel, shall rebuild the old ruins. I'm going to ask you right now as I read this, is this happening now in Israel? Now, ultimately, it's going to happen way big when Christ returns, but Israel's back on their land, miraculous. The rebuilding of the old ruins, they, Israel, shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities. I encourage you, go to YouTube, look at these things happening. The desolations of many generations, strangers, non-Jews, shall stand and feed your flocks. Wow, there's going to be Jews that are going to wind up, there's going to be non-Jews serving the Jews. And the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, your employees. Verse 6, but you, Israel, that is, shall be named, listen to this, the priest of the Lord. I don't want to make a big deal out of this. You can look at it later if you care to. But another distinguishing factor between the church in the millennium and Israel in the millennium, Israel will be referred to as the priest of the Lord. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ. It's very, very different. You should know the difference. It's beautiful. They, that is the nation, shall call you the servants of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles and their glory. You shall boast. Instead of your shame, this is Israel, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, that's Israel, they shall possess double. Now watch this. If you're taking notes right now, write this down. They shall possess double. Number one is, this is their first possession, everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. Amazing statement. I love justice and I hate fake worship. That's what he's saying. Wow. Wow. Oh my goodness. God says, I love justice. I love you doing the right thing. Now, oh, and by the way, I hate fake worship. A lot of stuff goes on today in churchianity. That's not worship. Entertainment, big loud noise, I don't know what. But I don't know about you. I hope I do know about you. But whenever God is touched in worship, you know it. He shares it with you, even in a group. When God is being blessed by worship, you can sense that. In the relationship of the Spirit, Charles Spurgeon used the word intercourse between God and man, that closeness, it's discerned. There's something about when the Lord is being worshiped, those that are in tune and sensitive to what's happening with him can sense that he's pleased. I hope you discipline yourself to know this. Well, let's go to a Christian concert. Okay, as long as it's a Christian concert, I get it. Yeah, are you with me, people? If you're going to go to a Christian concert, then go to a Christian concert. It's not against the law. Do it. That's fine. But just know you may or may not have any worship experience. Oh, but we were jumping up and down. We got really sweaty. You had aerobics. There is something spiritual that when it takes place, there's an intercourse between the soul of the believer and God that is sovereign of God's making. And you want him to share that experience, but listen, he's a lover. And when you give him that experience in worship, he responds. So be sensitive to that. He says, everlasting joy shall be theirs, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. And here's the second one. Will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them, that is Israel, shall acknowledge them. Can you imagine? The world will say, that's Israel, that's a Jew. And they won't be attacking them, they'll be impressed. That they, Israel, are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. What a tremendous thing that is. You might want to write down in your margins, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33. You can read it later to be in the notes later on, but for time's sake, I'm going to speed this up. But simply this, God says in Jeremiah 31, 31, what he's going to do here in Isaiah 61. And that is, he's going to give the Jews, the exact same mode of salvation that you tonight have. It's not the Old Testament. It's not the Ten Commandments. How are you saved? By the gospel of Jesus Christ, by what Jesus did for you. It's the new covenant. And Isaiah 31, 31 to 33 says, God says, I'm gonna do away, listen, my Jewish friends, God says, I'm gonna do away with the old covenant that you broke in the wilderness. God, he points out to you broke it. And I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And this is it. It's going to be written on your heart. That's the new covenant. You and I already have it. As a Jew comes to the knowledge of the word of God, then he gets it. But please, friends, there's famous big wheel people out there in Christianity saying a Christian gets saved by being born again and a Jew's going to be saved by keeping the law. And that is false. False, false. Nicodemus had to be born again just like you and I. Look, you're a Gentile. Nick was a Jew. Jesus, first person ever told that you've got to be born again was a Jew, Nicodemus. So don't let somebody invent something on you. And then finally, we end verses 10 and 11. What do you know about the one who saves? It says in verse 10, and he has, I love this, verse 10, he has, number one, clothed me with the garments of salvation. Church, quick, who does the clothing? Who provides the garment? God does. He puts it on you. Number two, he covers me with the robe of righteousness. This is New Testament, isn't it? This is awesome. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments. Well, we don't do that, but they do there, I guess. And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, some things never change. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Translation, Israel is going to have a government that is instituted by God, and it is going to have a politic, and it is going to be Jesus. That has to happen. It will happen. And what's beautiful about this thought is for you to think tonight, are you a citizen of God's government? That's important. Eternally important. And the second thing is, do you agree with Jesus's politics? So I don't get involved in politics. Well, you better get involved in this particular politic. He's King Jesus. He has a realm. He governs and he has policies. Politic is a fancy word for policies. Jesus has them. And Jesus says, though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them away. I'll make them like snow. I'll make them as white as wool. I'll make you a whole new person. That's what you need to know tonight if you don't. Father, we thank you for your word and for the fact that tonight, Jesus, no matter where we might be, no matter who or what we have found ourselves in the status of life or how absolutely wretched and depraved we have become as a human, that this word of hope goes out to all, that you're the God that restores and you're the God that makes new and you're the God that washes away. And Father, right now in the hearts of those here, perhaps right now, they may be saying, Jesus, if this is true, will you do it for me? My friend, listen, take him at his word. It is true. He is true. He wants to forgive you. He wants to make you new. He wants to start your life over and do it right now. He wants to lead you this time around. Tell him in your own words that that's what you want too. And maybe you're here tonight or you're viewing tonight and you're a believer, but it's time to rededicate your life. You need this restoration. You need this love. You need this worship in your life for real. You've gone through the motions. It's been a long time. You would confess tonight, you know, I'm a Christian now, but it's been a long time since there's been some romance with God and I. I have not sat up with him, or I've not gotten up early with him. I've not walked with him. I've not sang. I've not sat at his feet in a long, long time. And I want to renew my life with him in that. I want to make a recommitment to that. My dear Christian friend, do that right now. Maybe for those of you for the first decision and maybe for some to rededicate, we would all agree by saying, Lord, we bring our lives to you this night, and we're asking you, Father, to wash and to forgive and to breathe life into me. And the things that have, like a moth and like locusts, have eaten at me. And I've looked around, and it's almost as though my foundation has turned into a tip of a needle. I mean, my stability has grown to about the width of a pencil. And I look around and I'm tired and I'm alone and I'm empty. And I'm asking you, God, to help me now and to rescue my life. Jesus, come to me.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What Do You Know? Part 2. Thanks for being here today. And do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He's right there, waiting for you to come to Him. What Do You Know? Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.